Welcome back to another episode of Tips and Tricks with your favorite destination coach, Danielle Shelton. Today, I have a very special guest, one that I have known for quite some time, but it is high time that the rest of you guys get to know her. It is Miss Rashida Turner. How are you doing?
Hi, fine. It's Rashida. It's fine. You call me by my nickname, but it's Rashida.
Rashida, I'm so sorry because I call her Shay, y'all. So I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I have family members who are like, Rashida, who is that?
All right, Rashida. So tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is it that you do?
Hi, Danielle. So who are you? Why did you have to start out with the hardest question first?
That one always gets everybody like, wait a minute. Wait.
Because, you know, some people want to know, like, okay, what are your credentials? Why should people listen to you? Other people, like, that doesn't matter if they don't know the authentic you. Like, what makes you tick? What makes you click? I don't even know how to answer that question. So I'll just throw some stuff out there and you put it in the order you need to.
Okay.
So I am Rashida Houston Turner. Been married for over 10 years now, exciting challenge of being a wife, having a loving and supportive husband. And my greatest, greatest victory of life, I think, is having my first biological child at over 40. I can't even tell you, I can't bring it out of my mouth. My grandma picked at me and now I'm a little bit traumatized, but I always like to say I'm an old lady with a new baby. So she's four now, but I got the most amazing practice with my son, who's now 22. So at one point, we had a 19-year-old and a 19-month-old. So yeah, you know the struggle. So that's who I am on that side. Professionally, the job that drives my passion is I'm an educator at Florida A&M University. I teach in the business school. Yes.
For all the rattlers out there.
Yes.
Damn you in the house.
Right. Yes. So I have been there since 2007, full-time since 2011, but I started my career after grad school with the Florida legislature, and that built the polished professional that most people see. Like, I was already really mature going in, but just knowing how to maneuver this life in the United States was built working there. So I was there for over a decade. And then also I've been a photographer for over 13, 14 years now, I lose count. And this year I launched my coaching business because I had already been mentoring and coaching for almost 10 years now. And I just decided, hey, you might as well formalize it and monetize it. Let's be real. But we know that knowledge is king, definitely. And I have a lot to share. And there are people out there struggling who don't know where to go, where to start, you know, where to even end up. And I have all this knowledge, and it was unfair for me not to share that with people. And I love helping people. So I said, I might as well go there. So that's a little bit about who I am. So,
yeah, you know what? I think that it is when you're in education, you don't monetize the skills that come natural. And then you see people and you're like, oh, I could get paid for that. Oh, I could get paid for coming up with the plan. Oh, I could get paid for coaching. Oh, I could, like, everything that you do in the classroom, literally everything people charge for.
Yep.
And what I find more often than not, myself too, I'm guilty, y'all, I'm guilty, is we give our gifts away. And we give our time away and we give our efforts away. I don't know if you've ever been like running errands and they're not yours and you're like, why am I doing all of this stuff for all these other people? And then sometimes we give our own money away because we're trying to help other people and we don't know how to monetize what it is that we do. So I want to dig a little bit deeper about the defining moment. Like, when was that moment that says, you know what? This is something that is a real business, and this is something that I need to monetize for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a defining moment, and then there was activation and execution, and there was some time in between that. So when I look back at it, my life as a consultant and as a coach started before I ever got a degree. Right. I was 19 years old, won a scholarship, a Florida Classic scholarship. And as part of the scholarship, I had to go to the Tampa Convention Center and monitor them for a week and tell them how they could improve. And I did that, wrote up the report at the end of the week. I got to meet the Tampa Bay Buccaneers during one of their luncheons and help like with that, like just all of this experience at 19, still virtually a child. And after I did that and wrote that up on their 7 departments at the time, I had the director say, we have paid people to do this. A report as comprehensive and as valuable as this. And I walked away like, wow, you know, like I can do this. Like naturally I can help people be better, do better. And so I went through, you know, college helping people. But then when I got my first job with the legislature, my first career, my life, my mortgage was paid to coach people, consult, tell the state of Florida where they could spend less money, tell them where they could treat citizens more fairly, tell them where they could do a better job. And so I realized that in that position, I got a finite amount of money for for consulting, right? Then when I moved over to FAMU, like you said, every day, it's not even like, hey, you can get paid for that. I know you could get paid for that, but wait, hold on. Y'all making how much doing what I do every day?
Exactly.
Like, what? And I will say that I am paid, like I make good money at FAMU. Like they, at least in the business school, they take care of us, right? So I'm good, but then I map it out. And like, I do this already, but never mind me saying, oh, I can monetize it. It's people. Can you help me? Can you think my business is suffering? I don't know where to start. I want to start this cupcake company. I'm good at photography. Can you? And the demand was there, and people believed that I was the one who could help them. When they had gone to YouTube videos, some of them had graduated from college already. There were others who were stuck moms, like all of these different examples of the world needs you, your people need you. And so that's how, you know, I said, I'm going to do it. And I actually, if you go and look on some biz, I started my business in 2015. But after a year, I said, I'm not doing it. I'm focused on teaching and photography. I don't have time. And I realized, like, you know, this is what I need to do. And God says, you told me this is what you wanted to do. Now, why are you resting? Why are you sitting? Why are you doubting? And I kept saying, but I'm scared. But, oh, I hate social media. I don't post. I don't, you know, all these things. He's like, okay, well, you already told me. So I'm not going to let you rest until you
move. Until it's done.
Yep. And I had this burning in my belly and him pushing me. And then me talking to my husband, and he's like, you've been doing this all these years. Like, what's the hold up? What you need help with? Do I need to invest? Like all these things. And I'm like, you know, there's nobody stopping me but me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to counsel or help somebody else, I would tell them, move out of your own way. So then I had to listen to myself and give myself permission to move forward, scared and all, shaking and all, nervous as heck and all, and go and help people because they need you. So yeah, that's how
do it anyway.
Do it
anyway. And all.
Oh, yes.
Look, that goes to show that be careful what you ask for. And sometimes you don't ask. Sometimes God just be like, you know, push you right on in a direction. You're like, wait a minute, wait.
Yep.
Yes. Hold on. This is not, and God be like, you're that person, because I can relate to you on so many levels, but I definitely relate to you. My part of my ministry is helping people in the middle, spiritually more so, because people are tending to get lost in the middle, and not just get lost, but they're tending to take their own lives in the middle because they don't see the other side. And I had this conversation with another young lady that I recorded with recently, and looked up some statistics. And since January, you've had over 5,000 people take their lives. And I was like, that is a crazy number of people who feel like they don't have anyone to go to. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, if my purpose is just to get people to love them through the middle and get them to the other side, then I got to connect with other people who are working with people in the middle to get them to the other side. And that's why when I saw your business, I was like, oh, I gotta get her on, because she right there working with people in the middle who are stuck, who don't know what to do, who don't know what resources they have. They're stuck and they got to get through the middle. So while we're there talking about getting through the middle, your wife, your mom, your professor, you know, you're a photographer, you're a business owner, how do you balance? Because there's some people that stuck and they're drowning in their life, and they're like, I don't know how to move forward because I don't know how to get through all of this stuff. So what advice could you give them to say, here is how I juggle, you know, maybe it could help?
Yeah. So let me dry my tears real quick, because you said some stuff that really hit. I was sitting there like, share. You don't know if there are two people who need to hear this or 200, but then I'm stuck because it's such a personal thing. So maybe I'll share later, but it hit right at, you are doing exactly what is needed, because there are people who are contemplating taking their own lives, who are just not, can't take their own lives, won't take their own lives, but have stopped living.
Yes.
You know? So thank you for actually hearing and moving forward with your ministry. So that's excellent. So as far as juggling, managing, balancing, all that stuff, that is the hardest part of anything I've mentioned so far, and that in anything that I'll conquer in the whole 2023. Like, it is very hard. So there are all of these signs and, you know, like, oh, show me a sign, or, oh, you know, I need to feel it. Don't ignore the signs, number one. You know, that's something, and that's not even number one. I skipped to probably number five, but I was listening. I'm a lifelong learner. Like, I listen to the podcast and YouTube. I'll just be grading papers. I'm like, I want to hear somebody talk about coaching. Let me click something. And the other day I heard someone say there's power in the past. No, when I say PASS, no thank you, right? I'll pass. No, I'm not gonna do that. No, maybe in the future, but not right now. We need to, especially as Black women who have gladly taken on the role of Superwoman, or by default, we are used to doing everything for everybody and being okay with that. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay when you're not okay. And so sometimes you have to say no You have to ask, but you always have to put that on the table as a consideration. Some things you can't say no to if you're taking care of a sick family member, or, you know, if your kids truly need you, but right. that always needs to be a consideration. Don't ever say, oh, I can't tell them no. No, I thought about it. I've analyzed it, and I won't tell them no, but that's a possibility, right? You know, so right. that is something that's really important. And then also prioritizing, and you know, without sharing, you shared something, I think last year, about a personal struggle you were having, had the same struggle, and you're like, why aren't people talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you probably, so that in itself was a struggle for me. And I found out that I was in the same club by way of loss, right?
Okay.
Instead of talking in circles, let me make it real clear.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because yes.
Yeah. So I found out in 2015 that I had fibroids. How did I find out? Because someone who was like, oh no, I don't want to have kids, you know, my husband finally was okay with, before we got married, that okay, I understand, no kids, if it's meant for us, we'll have them, you know. He said that secretly in his head, and like, I want to marry this woman. We got married. We're like, oh, no kids. And then God said, oh, here you go. But I suffered my first loss in 2015, primarily, from what I understand, because I had huge fibroids, did not know it, all that. So sorry to introduce so many threads into this, but during that time, I was doing so much and doing for this and going and just operating on 10 at a natural level.
Yeah.
Right. When I was going through my miscarriage, I was lying flat on my back, not a help to many people at all. And I realized then that, guess what? When you make it through this, those people will be all right. You weren't there to bail them out, to help them, all this stuff. They're still there. And the very person who sometimes gets the leftovers, your husband, is the person here drying your eyes right now, who holds you at night to make sure you're okay, who says, I will call in to work and not go to work for a couple of days to take care of you. And I'm like, why am I not prioritizing him as the king that he should be?
Mm-hmm.
So that made me realize, you got to reorder some stuff, right? And you got to tell some people no, because they were able to make it through. And these people didn't know what was going on. So that helped me. We're not even going to talk about the postpartum that I suffered from that loss. We're not going to talk about that. That's a whole different discussion.
I have to have you back, because we got some notes. we can share about the whole, about all of that. We got notes we can compare.
Gosh. But again, I started out by saying I am the proud mom of a 4-year-old. So we made it through after several other losses. But that's how I figured that and realized I needed to rejuggle. But then after everything gets well, like, oh yeah, I can do this. I can say, then we get into that place again of being with the plate too full.
Mm-hmm.
And so every so often you need to have a intentional and purposeful check-in with yourself and with your spouse, who sees you managing all of this, to say, hey, am I doing too much? And usually the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes. And the advice from anybody not in it will say, slow down, right? And so how do I juggle? I have those check-ins, right? I understand the power of the past, right? And the necessity of no, if we want to get all alliterative, right? We have to do that. And we have to make sure that the people who care for us the most don't get the leftovers.
Leftovers.
Yeah. And, you know, then we can get into other technical stuff of writing everything down, like, right, write it down, put it in your reminders or whatever, look at it every day, and then prioritize it that way. And then understand that some of this stuff, these emergencies aren't your emergencies, they're other people's emergencies because they didn't value you or your time or theirs. So
that's a whole sermon. I had to learn how to let other people's emergencies not become my priority.
Yep.
And that was hard for me because I was like, oh, this is chaos over here. Let me put this fire out. It's a fire over here. Let me put this fire. And then while you're running in circles, helping other people put out their fires, you're on fire and you're not putting out your own self.
Yes. Yep. And then when you need someone to help you put out your fire and you run down that list of the people you were helping, where's the reciprocity in all this?
Mm-hmm.
And that will help you too. That will definitely help you. When I need the same or similar help, will those I helped help me?
Oof. Look, I don't even know what this is. I'm about to turn around. I'm about to leave. You know what? And I think if you are a giver, you don't even look for the help.
Right. That's the problem.
If you are a giver and you just naturally help people, you don't even look for the help.
Yep.
And that's so toxic on its own, because I have needed help and did not look for it, did not ask for it, suffered what I thought was in silence. It wasn't in silence because the people around me saw it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I thought I was being silent about it. But my husband was like, you know, what's going on? You okay? Like, something is different. And I'm going to tell you a moment that I had in the middle of me helping people and being stressed out and being burnt out. Zoe, that's my little y'all, nine. She's nine now. But at this time, she was seven. And she was training with a trainer, right? And the trainer, she runs track. So the trainer was running with her, whatever. And then her and daddy went to eat, and she wasn't feeling well. She puked while they were eating. And when she came home, she was just in the bed. And I was like, well, what happened? And then she was like, I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling good yesterday. She suffers from migraines. I wasn't feeling good this morning. My head is hurting so bad. The sunlight was hurting. And I was like, well, why didn't you say anything? And she was like, well, I didn't want to say how much I was hurting. And I said, why? And she was like, you don't say how much you're hurting.
Oh, wow.
Every time I say it, I'm about to cry, but I'm not.
You better not, because they keep coming up.
Or it made me like, okay.
Wow.
It took that for me to be like, she's watching.
Yep.
And she knows when I'm exhausted. She knows when I'm in pain. She knows when I'm hurting, and she knows that I keep going. And she's modeling herself after my burnout. Like, that's the model that I'm setting.
Yeah.
So it was that moment sticks out in my, like, it stays lodged in my mind as a reminder that you are an example. Yeah. And one of the best things that you can do for yourself is take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And one of the best things you could do for your family is take care of yourself. And I used to think that that was an insult. I did not delegate. I used to be like, if I tell you to do it, I could have done it by now. So for the ladies out there that's listening that want to know how to juggle life, how to juggle business, how to juggle all these things, the first thing you got to do is be able to prioritize. Make you a list. If your burnout is coming as a result of helping other people, you got to make a list of that too. Who's going to help me? You know, like, and be okay saying no. always leave no as an option.
Be better than okay.
Like, yes. I think.
Be empowered in saying no, like, feel empowered.
Yeah. I started utilizing no after I had pneumonia. I started utilizing them because my doctor was like, you know, you could die, right? Like, you know, you could die, right? And she just kept saying that over and over again. And I was like, oh, I get it. And she was like, no, you need to lean on those that you can lean on and stop trying to do everything. Cause I didn't even know I had pneumonia. I literally was at dance class the day before.
Wow.
Had no idea until I was laid out and could not move that next day. And Javon took me to the hospital. That's my husband, y'all. Took me to the hospital and they were like, you have pneumonia.
Mm.
How long did I have pneumonia for? But there had to have been signs, right?
Of course. And that's the problem with being a superwoman. Like, we miss the signs, we ignore the signs, right? We disregard the signs. Sometimes the signs aren't as noticeable to us because we're built with all this energy to keep going, to push forward, all that. So we miss it. And we don't understand that even in us being so powerful, so great, so strong, that we are weak and fragile creatures. The simplest of things could take us out. And unfortunately, culturally, we as a community suffer more because we miss those signs and all that. So we have to be careful because, you know, we have families that we have to take care of, that we're trying to build legacies for, you know? And let me say this part, Zoe is my baby's favorite author.
Thank you.
Yes. So we read about this watch. Where is it? Please find it. So, you know, good job with being an amazing mom, you know, to such an amazing young lady. So she's an inspiration.
Thank you. I don't know. I think moms need to hear that sometimes. And thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
Yeah.
So as we get ready to wrap up, I always turn the tables on myself because I ask all the questions, but I give my guest a chance to ask me at least one question. If there's anything out there that you want to know, I turn the tables on myself. Some guests have questions, some don't. Though I haven't really met that many that don't, but you know, So if you have a question for me, I am set and ready to answer.
All right. So one is a really hard question that I should not ask, but I'm going to, since we're talking about prioritizing, right? We're talking about balancing, and I know that you do a lot. If there is one thing that you could say no to that you haven't, or one thing that you can take off of the priorities list and put that on a maybe later list, I won't ask you what it is, but is there at least one thing that you could say no to that will bring your life into greater balance?
Oof. Shoot, I got a whole list of stuff I could say no to. that will bring balance. Yes. And I'm going to say it because I am the one who does a lot of the errand running, but I also do a lot of the kids' activities. And because the activities are 3 times a week, and then I did all the activities over the summer and all the activities when Zoe was training for a triathlon. And it burns me out getting off of work and then doing all of the activities. So one thing I could say no to is not taking her every single time, but delegating and asking for help on taking her to practice. Utilizing my partner and just saying to him, instead of me doing all of the errands and all of the activities, can you take her a day? So that's definitely something that I need to do and I have not done. I just go through my day. But that's definitely something that I need to say no to. And I need to ask for help with. And it's not that he won't help me. It's just the fact that I have not asked for help.
Well, yeah, see, and I'm going to follow up. You should have let me take over this interview. You should not have. So, you know, you've talked to your audience. So I'm going to talk to your audience for a second. Hey, friends, new friends. Our husbands are best friends. And so if my husband walks in the door talking, it's usually your husband is talking to and they catching up. Sometimes they're on, it's like a whole, it's a circle of best friends. And they own group calls. And I'm like, what? Who does that? But it's so productive for them. Like, and they've been friends for like since they were kids. So it's just amazing. So I know, you know, how they think. I know in knowing you for quite a while, quite a long time, and knowing that we cut from the same cloth. Do you ever stop yourself from asking him to help because you don't want it to inconvenience him? It doesn't have anything to do with him, but let's talk about us as moms and as, you know, having to be everything, right? Or thinking that we need to be everything to everybody. We consider other people and not wanting to disrupt their easygoing lives at the detriment of our sanity, safety, health, well-being.
So that was definitely me. I absolutely do not ask for help. And I absolutely don't, because I'm like, I don't want to interrupt him. I don't want to interrupt what he's doing. I don't want to inconvenience him. And it's crazy because I have done that for so long that it definitely is a norm. And it was something that was created in me before I met him. So it just flows through, except now with the husband and with the family, it's not just me being superwoman for myself. It's me being superwoman for a whole household.
Yeah.
So there are things that I have not done consistently that I need to do consistently. So like when I coach people through the middle, I'm like, listen, y'all, I'm telling y'all from where I am.
Yep.
I'm coaching you through the middle because I know what that middle is like. And I know what it's like to have hurdles. And I have to tell you that asking for help is a hurdle. Mm-hmm. And that is one that I have to jump over consistently to make sure that I am okay.
Yeah. I love it. And, you know, thank you for being transparent about, you know, your position and knowing how it is and feels to be in the middle and speaking from experience and testimony and all that. So I really admire you for taking that step and moving in your ministry. Like it really means a lot. And just know that you are a motivation to me. Like when I see you on IG pressing your way, pushing forward, you know, getting fit and fine and all that other stuff. Like, you know, I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna push through, but know that I am not the only one. I am the only one in 100 who sees you as the inspiration and motivation and the light that we need. So thank you for all of that.
Aww. Yeah, she trying to make me cry. I'm ending the show. All right. So how can the people reach you? Do you have a website? And I want you to plug again the name of your company So if you are a business owner, entrepreneur, you're trying to start your business, you don't know which kind of way to go, if you're stuck and you really need some good counsel, you really need someone to consult with, please, please, please give your information out again so that people can know how to contact you.
Okay, so again, my name is Rashada Houston Turner. I am on Instagram, but I'm just starting to post again. I'm sorry, the last post before last week was over 4 years ago, but I'm on Instagram at True Dream Photo. So that's TRUDREAM. So it's True Dream without the E in true. And it's because your true dream is, it's a whole concept, a whole movement, right? But True Dream Photo. And then my coaching business is True Dream, True Biz. So that's True Dream, no E in true, TRUBIZ. And it stands for True Dream Business Solutions, LLC. So that's where I am. If you need help with getting your entrepreneurial venture off the ground, here to help. If you started, but you like, ooh, I'm missing pieces, I can help you with that. If you have an existing business, my day job focuses on business strategy, looking long-term, helping fill in those gaps. So all things business, I can help you with. If it's social media, sorry, I can't do that. But anything else. And if you need branding photography, I can help with that. But that's where I am. That's who I am. So thank you for allowing me to plug my business. I don't have a website, but I can be reached on Instagram at those handles.
All right, y'all. So that is it. We are out. We will see you guys later on another episode of Tips and Tricks with your favorite destination coach, Danielle Shelton. See y'all later.